Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps and the fortnightly update with the wonderful Tony Lacantro from Alto Capital. And my name is Kerry Stevenson, and we like to just bring you once a fortnight a little bit of a discussion about what the heck is going on. Now, first up, I will say this is not financial advice. Tony is a wonderful broker. He's got lots of clients. In fact, he's got too many clients at the moment. But what we do is we just have a bit of a chat about what's going on. And we talked last time, we had a bit of banter, didn't we, Tony? Because I thought one thing, you thought the other. I reckon we should continue because it's a bubble, but is it a bubble? Is property, I mean, you're saying, look, it's a property and it's an everything bubble. And I'm thinking, well, is it just going to bubble up, up and away and just keep on going? Because things seem to be coming back to normal. The vaccine's in, share market's on a tear. People seem to have a lot of cash because they can't travel. And here we are in the penal colony formerly known as Australia. People have got more money because they're not going to Bali. They're not going anywhere. So they're buying more houses and they're putting more money into the stock market. So up, up and away, happy days, euphoria, here we come.
This is definitely the everything bubble. And it was pleasing to note that we had 10,500 hits on our latest banter video, which is fantastic. But look, I've got absolutely zero doubt this is the mother of all speculative bubbles. We have more bubbles than the Major League Baseball Association that are about to pop. And viewers should be mindful that it doesn't take, you don't need a pin, we don't need higher interest rates, we don't need regulation. All we need is an exhaustion of buyers, and that's going to come, and it could come bloody quickly. I actually put out a tweet, and it goes a bit like this. You're on the third date with this beautiful woman. You decide to go to an Indian restaurant and you order the prawn jalfrezi. Everything goes well. You're about to get an Uber home, but you decide to walk, and you're walking home hand in hand, and suddenly your stomach starts to rumble. And that's how fragile the property, crypto and stock markets are. End of story. And what we've seen this online frenzy from people trying to push Dogecoin to a dollar. That's just absolute stupidity. Someone's got to write a book on this. We could call it For the Benefit of Aliens, because they're going to get a massive laugh in a few years' time when they realise that humans were trying to create joke coins and then come out with a coin called Arscoin, which stands for Australian Safe Shepherd, and they're trying to write media articles to Elon Musk to get the price up. The world has gone absolutely batshit crazy. This is all going to end, and then you've still got people in the Daily Telegraph in front of houses they're paying 20 times for. And the concerning part, Kerry, is that there was an article on news.com.au by Tarek Brooker who spoke about the Bank of Mum and Dad. And yeah, the Bank of Mum and Dad in Australia is the ninth largest financial institution in the country. And I can just imagine a 20-something woman going to a dad and saying, "Dad, you know that big expensive wedding I was going to have? Can you now give me the money for a new house, for a deposit on a new house?" And chances are he loves his daughter so much, she'll get the big wedding anyway. But this is just a row of dominoes waiting to fall once. Yeah,
but Tony, what's going to be the catalyst? Because, look, as I said before, I know wages are not going up that much, but people don't have anything to spend on. And it's called the wealth effect. Property prices are going up at the moment, share market is going up. So people feel wealthy. And when they feel wealthy, they spend more. And so what do you think is the catalyst that is going to pop the bubble? Because if prices continue to go up, the wealth effect continues, the party keeps going, doesn't it?
Well, to me, the property market felt like the top 2 weeks ago. You've actually seen the share price of Kogan come off quite a lot. JB Hi-Fi got smashed around as well. All these retail stocks were priced for absolute perfection. People have gone out and bought retail type of shit they do not need, they do not want. And Warren Buffett said, if you go out and spend too much on what you want, you're going to end up selling what you need one day. And retail therapy for me is like my addiction to KFC. Comes around about once a month and you feel the need to go out and buy a bucket of KFC. And that's how I feel with retail spending. But I actually feel sick now going to a shopping centre. You're going to Kmart, the place just smells of plastic. You've got people, you know, Smega now trying to do these retro kettles to charge $250. The retail side of consumerism, it's absolutely crazy. And people should realise that none of this shit will ever make you happy.
I know, but isn't that the velocity of money? You know, you keep turning it around, and you know, obviously, if I'm going to buy a kettle, like everyone buys a kettle from Smeg, they've got to make more kettles. They're going to employ more people, and then the people that have bought the kettles are going to turn around and you know, isn't it just a big circle of more productivity?
The circle of stupidity, because I actually went and paid $17 for a retro kettle from Kmart, and guess bloody what, Kerry? It still boils water.
True.
So,
look, it's not you and me, but a lot of people are saying because they're not traveling, because the fact of the matter is that there is a lot of people used to spend a lot of their hard-earned income on traveling, whether it's to Europe, the US, Bali. They'd go and not only spend money on flights and accommodation and meals and all the rest of it, but they'd also spend it on doing fun things while they're there. That's gone. So the money is being spent within Australia. It's not leaving Australia. It's staying here. And as a result, real assets are going up because they don't know what else to spend it on. So the retail market is being strong and the housing market is going up. And Tony, who knows when we're going to be ever allowed to leave the penal colony?
Good point. Well, there is another option people can do with their money, and that's pay down debt or actually save it.
Why would you save it? There's no interest. That's why the share market's going up, because everyone's speculating because they want to get some sort of, again, it goes back to the wealth effect, doesn't it?
Well, it's just really a bunch of stay-at-home pip traders who will jump on anything with a pulse. You know, we've now got, I've seen on Twitter where people are now being invited to organise pump room groups of all these shit coins. There's fraud everywhere. There's scams everywhere. And I've noted now, you look at the crypto pages and it's approaching, I think there's about 6,000 religions. I think now we're approaching 6,000 shit coins where every religion, everyone is right. This is just human stupidity being conned and people paying these ridiculous house prices in Sydney and Melbourne. It's an absolute Ponzi scheme. A lot of families are going to get wiped out because they're paying 20 times for an average property when the long-term price-to-income ratio should be 5 to 6 times. We've got zero wage growth. Everyone's tapped out. Interest rates are at all-time lows. Banks are starting to lift their interest rates now. Okay. And once people start to lose their jobs, it only takes 4 or 5 sales in a pocket of a suburb to have a 20% correction. I mean, viewers of this channel should go and watch a debate between Morgan Kelly and Jim Power. It's on YouTube. The quality's not too good. But that's where Morgan Kelly says, wait a sec, Irish house prices are going to halve despite the strong economy. Jim Power argues with him, and house prices in Ireland, they halved. So we are not immune from anything. We've got no strength. the RBA's got no levers left. Banks will have to start lifting rates. And the fear of an interest rate rise could be worse than the event itself. Apartment prices are collapsing. A lot of them are being sold at massive losses. Real estate agents are withholding large amounts of apartments as well. We've got building faults everywhere. This is just going to turn to an absolute shit show. And if people think that they can have an asset that's just going to keep on going up, I think they're delusional. And probably the darkest of financial times are about to hit this country, regardless of the fact of how high we are on this financial windfall, which wouldn't have appeared if we didn't have a bloody global pandemic. COVID, all COVID's done is given people an extra year to sort out their shit, to get high on all this money being thrown at them. But once COVID dissipates, everyone's going to have to stand up for themselves. And unfortunately, that's just going to mean asset prices are going to have nasty corrections. It's going to take down the first home buyers. Then it's going to take down their parents who are going to have to sell as well. So it's just absolute stupidity. And we're seeing it really in the crypto markets where the manipulation and scams, you know, in the old days, we just used to have the romance scams where you'd get an email from Nigeria or something like that. But I just
what do you think? Okay, so what do you think is going to be, what do you think is the catalyst going to be? You mentioned that the banks potentially have already started raising rates. I'm not saying it, but clearly you're much more finger on the pulse than I am. are you seeing that rates, the banks are going to start? Because the Reserve Bank is not going to raise. I mean, they've said we're not touching for at least until 2024. But that doesn't mean that the banks won't raise.
Well, in the inflation basket, they've probably got a bloody VHS or Beta video recorder. You know, this lack of inflation is, you know, look at what you're paying for petrol, health insurance, everything, builders. No, and we cannot have a strong economy with interest rates at 0.10%. It just doesn't happen. It's like trying to hold a beach ball down in a public pool. Right. Things are going to change. Every market is fragile. You wait till stocks start correcting on Twitter, once the real shitty stocks start to correct. Everyone turns on each other. You get 1,000 points off the Dow, which is coming. It can't tiptoe through the tulips for this much longer. Then suddenly everyone turns bearish. The same will happen to property. You do not need a catalyst. You just need an exhaustion of buyers. Pretty much, you know, once the greater idiots run out, that's it. And speculative markets correct. And I remember the day the NASDAQ died, went into work, and you just couldn't catch a bid. There was just silence. Anyone that put a bid in 30 to 40% below the market got smashed and so on. And I think that we've still got to have that, I want to get the top bias, where people will not take an offer close to what they should be taking. Then they'll see that break-even price as the ceiling. It's just going to get extremely ugly. And everyone's got the chance to get out.
All right. So if everyone's got the chance to get out, but they're still, I mean, the psychology of people I find fascinating, because while everything's on a tear, no one thinks that they're ever going to lose anything. And their biggest thing is fear and greed, fear of missing out. And I want to get the top dollar that I can get. And, you know, I remember a couple of years ago, people saying this was a bubble. And if you'd got out then, you would have not. I mean, I'll give you a good example. I sold my home at the start of the pandemic. A place two doors down from me sold for a lot more. Do I feel annoyed with myself? To be honest, Tony, I do. Yeah, because I've missed out on that massive rise that's been going on. I hope you're right. I hope maybe in a couple of years I'll say, that was the right thing to do. But what would you advise people do at the moment? Could this keep going for another 5 years?
Absolutely impossible. I don't think there's enough idiots to pay $1.5 million for a knockdown out towards Penrith. You just can't. You can't breathe them quick enough. And people think that immigration, So all these immigrants are going to come with $150,000 to pay deposit and stamp duty. I mean, what Australians are trying to do is apply a textbook a textbook solution to a non-textbook situation. This is just an off-the-shelf speculative bubble where the financial literacy rate in this country must be close to zero, and people think that these ridiculous prices are the norm. I mean, Perth, up until recently, had been dropping for 6 to 7 years. There's people with houses less than 10 k's from the city that haven't made a cracker in 15 years, and as sure as shit, that can come to Sydney, and it doesn't matter, just because you've got a friggin' harbour bridge and an opera house, you're still going to be immune to asset price falls. And, yeah, anyway, I couldn't be any more abrupt in my warnings, but I've seen it before. And what has stopped this from occurring was the election result, then followed by a global pandemic. So, you know, all you need with asset prices is some exhaustion. And I remember the stock market just leading into the GFC. They were saying that self-managed super fund inflows would keep our all ordinaries at a high level. Well, it almost halved. You know, banks were doing rights issues at ridiculous prices. So, look, I'm prepared for this. I actually went out and have bought some more BBUS.
I want to ask you about that. Yeah. It brings me very nicely, because we're getting a lot of commentary now, Tony. Yep. People seem to like our little chats. And this is from a chap called Jason. Can I just ask you about this? Is that okay?
Yeah, far away.
Okay. He wants to know, what are you, is your target price for the BBUS ETF? He goes on to say, it is hard to see the US market falling 40%. But even if this was the case, it would mean an approximate gain of 100% for the BBUS ETF. So although this is doubling your investment, it doesn't seem like favorable odds when you consider the enormous outcome that is required for this to happen. Guess that's playing on your theme. That was from question from Jason.
That's a bloody good question. And I think it's going to be a personal issue. Now, the reason why I've gone so hard at the BBUS is a shitload of my stocks have had massive runs. And I need to protect what I've made. And so I continue to buy the BBUS. I'm of the view that on a short, sharp correction, that will increase roughly two and three quarter percent for every 1% off. But that's going to give me some cash to then buy some of the beaten up stocks. A lot of people will not have any cash, and their stocks will start getting sold off heavily. And that happened during COVID, mainly in March last year. And I think there's another point which people really should understand, is that we've had this massive speculative run, but no one's put aside any money to pay capital gains tax.
Good point.
Once stocks start to turn, people have to start selling, and then suddenly they haven't lodged their tax for a few years and they're in deep shit. So my reckoning is, I am stashing away part of my profits into the BBUS to build a bank. If the market turns to absolute shit, I'm going to come out all right, because I can pay all my bills, I can pay my tax, and that's why I'm doing it. And I feel as though I've got enough leverage left in the stocks I've got. I've got enough to make multiples on my money, but in the unlikely event we have the mother of all crashes, I'll come out okay.
It's a really good point. Yeah, really good point you just made before, Tony, and something that I think many people, especially those that are on social media saying, tell me the next stock to buy and where do I put $10,000? It's quite extraordinary when you have a look at it. They wouldn't even know what capital gains tax meant, and they won't even know when the tax man comes a-calling, and he will, because I think there's two reasons for that. One, you cannot get away with it in a digital economy. Everything is tracked and traced these days. You cannot hide, ladies and gentlemen, and you will be paying capital gains tax. But I guarantee the ones that are just getting into the market now won't have even thought about that. It's a really important point you raised, Tony.
Let's think about it. You could have a great run. You could make $1 million and then you put it into a few stocks at the top of the cycle and you lose that million. You're still going to have to pay tax on what you've made, and then you're going to have to gradually write it off to carry those losses. It's still going to be a very ugly situation. So, I can't give tax advice, but sometimes when you're making a lot of money, you've got to stop and reassess it and say, well, how the hell, not only do I protect it, but I cover the costs of what I made and I prepare for this party to end. And this has just gone on too long. And I'm cognizant that for me and my clients, we've made money far too easily and we've made far too much money. My clients are starting to become arrogant. I think, you know, in all honesty, let's have a bit of a slap around the face. Let's have a nasty market correction to sort people out. And I can assure viewers that not many people in the small caps are genuine. That at the first sign of negativity or a downside, they'll sell. At the first sign of any Dow correction over 500, they sell. All these people that will take new floats will try and get out of them. It just all turns to shit. And that process has been going on since I was involved leading into the NASDAQ bubble, which was absolute madness. So there's a lot to consider. And I consider my bet in the BBUS or investment as protecting what I've made and protecting my family.
End well, just story. To go back to what Jason was, yeah. The question he was asking, which is, you know, if the BBUS does what it says, what you know, it's that protection side of the thing, how do you answer his question? You know, that's...
Oh, look, I've got no target on it. If the Dow goes back to 18,000, 20,000, these will go well over $5 from $1.17, maybe a little bit less now. But to me, if that happens, you're going to see a lot of these spec stocks down between 50 and 90%. It'll be an absolute bloodbath, and that'll extend to shit coins and other asset classes as well. So my theory is to have enough BBUS to peel it off as the market falls to either pay my bills or build further positions in the market. To me, I don't think it's a lose situation. I cannot see anything to melt up markets from here because all the good news, I believe, has been factored in. And once we start to see earnings under pressure, you can see what happens to some of these ASX stocks. They get belted into the next postcode. So, you know, the psychology is skew-whiff because a retailer will come out with record results and the bulk of money will go in and buy it up, push it to a new high when you're paying for absolute perfection. And I just think that once the wealth effect starts to wear off, the excitement of free money being out, going out and put BNPL, everything, wears off, we'll go back to a normal economy, and that's from here, it's going to be an extremely ugly sight.
Yeah, and it's another good point you bring up, which is that these buy now, pay later stocks, not only have they gone on a tear, but clearly there's a lot of people that are using that as a way to purchase stuff that they don't actually really need. Tony, I want to ask you one final question before we wrap up for today, and that is, in an ideal situation for a client that of yours at the moment, where you're, I mean, you are very passionate about saying that, you know, this is not just a property, it's an everything bubble.
Everything bubble, yep.
How do you best position your clients? What advice would you give them? I mean, you're hedging with BBUS.
We're hedging with that. We're in good companies. I reassure them, yes, these will get beaten up. Just make sure you're in a position to pick some off. As I say to them, over 23 years, not one good company really has failed. We've had a few have some issues, but if you buy a good small cap, it will survive a nasty correction. So I say, look, go to some cash, go to some BBUS, look towards silver. I believe there's going to be a push on May 1 to get the silver price up. I think Sprott are advertising that they want 1,000 people to buy 100 ounces of silver. Anyway, let's see how that goes. But I'm bullish on silver, so make sure you have some silver and pay some debt down. And look, we'll keep swinging. I keep swinging all the way through this. The harder you swing, you don't want to go defensive as a speculator when you're buying. You go aggressive. A lot of clients say, well, I'm not as bearish as you. I don't want any BBUS, but I'm happy to tell everyone what I'm doing. I mean, I'm honestly hoping that we get as much of an orderly correction as possible. So,
and I think given, you know, you did speak property, I think that the property market in Australia is such a massive part of the Australian economy that the government is going to, and the banks will do everything in their power not to allow a collapse to happen. I mean, if it has to have a correction, they're going to do everything in their power to, you know, puff and make sure that it doesn't have a crash, I would think.
They've got no freaking choice. You can't say to all these people in Sydney that you've won lotto on your house returns, i.e. the government are going to protect you. No. The government can't stop people from selling their houses. A real estate agent who's struggling will jump on any price weakness, and then suddenly you've got a 20%, 30% correction in your suburb. No government has ever successfully interfered with a housing bubble. So, look, there's no levers left. What are you going to do? Make them 50-year mortgages, give everyone 100 grand. You know, the bank of mum and dad is doing that. We're going to have a lot of severed relationships once a couple's forced to sell. So, you know, I see the new wealthy as those that don't have debt and don't have a balloon payment coming on their Q5 or M5 car or SUV. So the new wealthy will be those that are debt-free, those not in negative net equity that can move around. So, ugly times ahead, probably going to be the darkest times in Australia's financial history at the end of the biggest friggin' party we've ever seen.
Tony, it would be remiss of me. I am the gold lady. This is my gold. You mentioned silver. Do you think people should be looking at gold equities and physical gold?
Absolutely. Look at physical gold. Look at some of the emerging gold companies. But be mindful that in a liquidity crunch, they get beaten up just as bad.
Yeah, that is true. Now, and I'm now going to do a shameless plug, because of those of you that are listening to this, I think it will be tomorrow. We will have, which is Thursday, the 29th of April, we're doing the virtual gold conference. Tony, I know you're not speaking this time, but I guarantee you'll be on one in the near future. But here's the thing. We've got Grant Williams. We've got Brenker. We've got some great minds, but we've also got some incredible gold companies. But there's also one that's silver in Mexico, massive, massive grades. So if people want to understand about potentially having a look at them, and by the way, not financial advice, do your own research, but go to goldevents.com.au and register. It's free, and we're giving you free information, just like Tony and I having a chat today. Any last thoughts for all those people out there that watch us every fortnight and love our banter?
Cryptocurrency scams and reality stars are similar to car service interval reminder stickers.
Run that past me again. Cryptocurrency.
Yeah, cryptocurrency scams and reality TV stars are similar to car service interval reminder stickers. I'll let viewers think about that one.
It's a nice way to end it. Tony Lecantre, I'll see you in a fortnight where we'll see whether the bubble is still being blown up out of all proportions. Thanks for joining us on SmallCaps.
2 weeks is a short time.
It sure is.
Thank you, as always, Kerry.
All right. Cheers, Tony.